Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the J. Stevens Podcast. This is episode number 290, dedicated to a man who on November 8th, 1951, won his first of three MVP awards, Mr. Yogi Berra. And as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. During today's episode, we will remember the great Bob Knight, who recently passed away. And do you still care about Colorado football? But first, Michigan sign stealing, it's not going away anytime soon. It's one of those conversations that I'm like, hey, let's find a way to kill this. Let's find a way to move past their wrongdoing, punish them, and move on. But you can't. There is due process that needs to be completed. There are bylaws and things that the Big Ten needs to go through and make sure they follow them, dot every I, cross every T. Also, the NCAA needs to do their thorough investigation as well. So there's a lot of things that have to happen, possibly happen, before a punishment is handed down. Recently on First Take, this is not something that I watched. I actually saw I was at the gym actually and saw the graphic on the television, and it was a statement that Stephen A. Smith made. Doesn't normally talk college football. Doesn't really talk college athletics. A big NBA guy, used to be an NBA beat writer and reporter. He does a lot of NFL stuff. Doesn't really do baseball, doesn't really do NHL. The one time I remember him talking baseball was about Shohei Ohtani, and he had to walk back some of the things that he said about that talented baseball player. So, there are things that Stephen A. is good at. There are things he is not good at. Stephen A. made a statement about a topic he doesn't normally talk about, which is college football, but he discussed, hey, Michigan should be banned from the college football playoff until the sign stealing investigation is complete. Now, for someone who does not always talk about this topic, that's a pretty bold statement to make. I don't know if he knows all the laws and all the rules that need to go into practice and into play that need to be done before a punishment is handed down. I don't know if he knows all that stuff. I don't think the average person or average reporter knows everything that needs to happen before either the Big Ten or the NCAA. I don't think Michigan's going to suspend Jim Harbaugh, or is going to punish their own football team that's doing very well right now. I don't think they're going to do that. And I put this poll out. Do you agree with Stephen A. Smith and his statement? 70% of the people that responded said yes. 30% of those people that responded said no. And I am in a weird spot because I can't stand that team. I don't sugarcoat it. I don't try to hide it. I can't stand that team. But to say that they should be punished banned from the CFP until the sign stealing investigation is complete, I don't know if I would go that far. Because let's just say it takes 2 years. Do you think Michigan should be banned from the CFP for 2 years, this year and next year? I don't know. That's unprecedented. That's not how sports are ran. I don't know. I do know this, though. I'm going to have a hard time with the committee if they decide to keep Michigan in the college football playoff this year when there is enough evidence that is out there and that has been put on Front Street that they cheated this season. That's where I stand with it. I'm not going to say they should be banned until the investigation is complete, because we all know NCAA, Big Ten, whoever, it's going to take a long time for the investigation to be complete. Think about Northwestern. Unfortunately, Pat Fitzgerald lost his job. But that first report about wrongdoing happening in the athletic department or the football team at Northwestern, that came out, I do believe, last fall. I don't know if it was November or October, but basically a year ago in 2022. That was the first time this was reported on about Northwestern, and it didn't really hit and get a lot of traction until the beginning, right before the season started, and Pat Fitzgerald lost his job. I remember this because I was thinking about going to Big Ten Media Days, and I told my wife, I said, no, I'm not going to go this year. And it was also something I'm looking at and saying, is Northwestern going to go? Are they going to send an interim head coach? Will athletes go? That was something I was watching, and that was back in July. So you're saying 6+ months, basically 6 months later, is when everything came out and more details came out in the investigation. I don't know if it's even complete yet, a year later, because Pat Fitzgerald is not happy with the way he lost his job. So it's going to be a long time before the investigation is complete. No, I don't really think that's proper and that's right. However, I do understand if the Big Ten decides to suspend or the NCAA decides to suspend Jim Harbaugh. I think he deserves it. I do. I'm not going to say he needs I don't know. I've made bold statements before, but I believe he needs to be suspended. Also, don't have him play in the playoff. Big Ten, you might not suspend Jim Harbaugh, but you have enough data to show, hey, y'all can't play in the Big Ten championship game this year. If you guys earn the right to play in it, you can't be in it. Why? Because you cheated. It's that simple. Cheating, breaking laws, it's not right. So, I don't agree with Stephen A. Smith. I do make this statement. The CFP committee needs to make sure Michigan is not in the playoff if they are undefeated at the end of the season. Hey, y'all can't be in the CFP playoff this year. Big Ten, if they're 12-0, win the Big Ten East. Hey, sorry, y'all cheated. Y'all can't play in the game at Lucas Oil Stadium the first Saturday in December. That's just how this thing should go. Let's go ahead and take a trip to Assembly Hall to kind of think about and remember what kind of coach Bob Knight was. I have had the privilege of living in numerous places in the United States of America. I was born in Fort Wayne, Indiana, moved to Indianapolis, Indiana when I was 6. I went to college in Tampa, Florida, ended up moving from Tampa, going to Jacksonville, Arkansas, spent 13 months there, and then moved back to Indianapolis, Indiana with my parents, now living in Kokomo, Indiana with my wife. And with me living different places, being around different people, sports fans, non-sports fans, one thing people know around the country is basketball is big in Indiana. When I was in Arkansas, the pastor's son that was at the church that I went to, big sports fan. Actually, he was in school, I do believe, to be a sports writer. Don't know if he's at the occupation right now, but that was something he was aspiring to do. He loved sports, and he loved basketball. He loved football. He just loved athletics. And so I had conversations with him there in Arkansas about basketball and about different things there, but I don't think they could fully understand why basketball was so big in Indiana. Yes, the high school basketball scene is unreal in Indiana. It's insane. You think about high school football in Texas. Think about that in Indiana and on the basketball court for the high schools. It's just different. That's the only way I can describe it. It is just different. You can go to the smallest of towns in the state and find a gym that seats 8,000 people plus, 8,000 plus. Up in Gary, Indiana, Northwest Indiana, where people don't really go to anymore, what are there? Numerous gyms that seat 7,000, 8,000 plus. It's just different in Indiana. And I know it's partly because of the high school basketball in the state, but it's mainly because of Robert Montgomery Knight. I don't normally call him that, but I figure for this show and the significance of what he is, Bob Knight was to the state of Indiana for basketball, he deserved that right now. Bob Knight was different. Different kind of a coach. A guy that when I was younger, hey, I wanted to play basketball in college at one point. I didn't do it. Didn't know that my height would hinder me and in my development. Didn't know that I would not be fast enough or different things that go into being a college basketball player. But I wanted to play basketball in college. I wanted to go to the NBA. I wanted those things in my life because basketball was different in Indiana, and Bob Knight was a big part of that. Bob Knight got his coaching career started at, this is one of those high school names that I can't really pronounce, Cuyahoga Falls High School. I hope I said that correctly. Cuyahoga, there you go, Falls High School. As an assistant coach, 1962 to 1963. Before that, he played his college basketball at Ohio State from 1959 until 1962. Was an assistant coach at Army from 63 to 65. From 65 to 71 was the head coach at Army. And then was where things changed at Indiana. I already had a national championship win under the belt, but Bob Knight changed things. From 1971, Bob Knight roamed the sideline at Assembly Hall and around the country, leading the Indiana Hoosiers basketball team. Ultimately, he got fired in the year 2000 for wrongdoing, some things that he did wrong, not anything false. It's true. It's real. Bob Knight, some say he was a controversial man. I think it's an accurate thing to say. I think Bob Knight also was someone that sometimes people may have feared, but also when it came to fearing him, a lot of that was because he got this reputation because of the way he coached. And he coached at a time that a lot of the things and tactics that he used, they were okay. They're not okay anymore. Big reason why he got fired, but that's just reality. But for Bob Knight, and ultimately forgot, missed 1 year, didn't coach in 2000-2001 season, came back to coaching, coached at Texas Tech from 01 to 08, and that's where he ended his coaching career. For the longest time, would not come back to Bloomington, Indiana, or IU, the place that he got fired, but ultimately in the year 2000, I want to say it's February of 2000, went back to Assembly Hall with Mike Woodson, Isaiah Thomas, and other players that he coached right there on the court, supporting him, around him, excited to have him back at Assembly Hall. Bob Knight was a big reason Indiana basketball is so big in the state, just basketball in general. But Bob Knight also is one of those coaches we could all learn things from. I can't really go through this without saying, yeah, there were some bad things about Bob Knight, but also let's keep this in mind. There were some bad things about a lot of people. I mean, I'm sure myself, like I know I'm not perfect. Trust me. Y'all don't want to dive into this. I will tell you firsthand, I know I'm not perfect. But we all have things with us that aren't okay. We all do things wrong. It's just the nature of the beast with us being humans. But also when it comes to Bob Knight, you could not deny the kind of basketball coach he was, why he was so successful, and what he means to college basketball as a whole. Not just Indiana basketball, Indiana Hoosiers, Indiana University, the state of Indiana, not just that. But college basketball as a whole lost a big part of why college basketball is viewed the way that it is. Didn't have 5 or 6 or 7 national championships under his belt. He's not somebody that went to all the Final Fours. I do believe he only went to 5 Final Fours in 73, 76, 81, 87, and 92. Won in 76, 81, and 87. Still the coach of the last undefeated college basketball team at the D1. I believe at the D1 level. It may be all of NCAA, but I know for sure the D1 level, the last undefeated team start to finish. And I thought for sure my lifetime was it Gonzaga? I want to say Gonzaga, and I forget the exact season, but I said, oh, for sure, they got it. And I put on my bracket, this was back still when I was doing printing out brackets from the printer, and I would have 4 or 5, and I would only have 1 at this time. Previous to this, buddy, trust me, I would have, oh, I got my North Carolina bracket, then I got my other bracket, and I got my other bracket, I got my other bracket. Next thing you know, I had 4 or 5 or 6 brackets that I was using at the time, and I was like, wait, let's try to consolidate this thing and only have 1. And so I remember this year, I was filling out my bracket after Selection Sunday before, and I believe this was when I did my bracket before the first games on that Tuesday evening, 2 games Tuesday, 2 games Wednesday. The tournament, to me, it still officially starts on that Thursday. And I remember putting on my bracket right there in the middle, the first time since 76. I was incorrect. They lost in that season. I want to say they only lost 1 game. Was that the year they lost to Baylor? Not sure if that was the exact season, but still, I was like, hey, first time since 76. And it's not just because of me and my basketball love. I really thought, hey, Bob Knight, last coach to lead a team to undefeated season, regular season, conference tournament, and then the NC2A tournament as well. I thought for sure Gonzaga was going to do it. It didn't happen. Bob Knight, some more accomplishments that he had. 11-time Big Ten regular season champion. 3-time national champion. Two-time Henry Iba Award winner. Naismith College Coach of the Year in 1987, three-time AP Coach of the Year, Claire B. Coach of the Year Award in 2002 at Texas Tech. Keep that in mind, not at Indiana. Five-time Big Ten Coach of the Year, Naismith Award for Men's Outstanding Contribution to Basketball. Got that in 2007. He was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 91, inducted into the College Basketball Hall of Fame in 2006. And still, one of the accomplishments that he had that really nobody's ever going to take away from him, he is the last person to coach an all-college Team USA team playing in the Olympics. 1984, had the privilege of coaching Michael Jordan, and that he made a statement about Michael Jordan and realized, hey, he's the best he's ever seen. This is before Michael Jordan was doing his thing for the Chicago Bulls and doing his thing in the NBA and embarrassing people and all of those things. Bob Knight recognized the talent Michael Jordan had and said, hey, this guy's different. And they may have called him Mike Jordan at that time. I forget if he was actually called Michael Jordan when he was playing on Team USA, but I know for a while he was Mike Jordan. Hey, Mike Jordan, Michael Jordan, don't matter. He's a dog, and Bob Knight quickly realized that. Bob Knight leaving and unfortunately passing away, there's a spot and a part of college basketball that's not the same. It's never going to be the same because Bob Knight's no longer here with us. We knew he was sick, and there were reports. And when I first saw the tweet on the Twitter, or excuse me, on X, formerly known as Twitter, I said, oh, okay. I saw the website. It had Bob Knight. It was the first time I had seen this come out. And I like to see a report, Google it, go on the Twitter search engine, and try to figure out if it's real because there's a lot of fake stuff out there. Didn't recognize the website name. So I said, oh, I'll wait a little bit before I tell people Bob Knight passed away. The next thing I know, John Rothstein, not the exact quote, but I think he said RIP Bob Knight, went on Facebook, and there are people there that said RIP Robert Montgomery Knight. I was like, oh, okay. And then later on, there was a report that that website was an official website tied to Bob Knight and his family and the foundation, and that was the first report that Bob Knight passed away at the age of 83. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. And as much as people don't like Bob Knight for whatever he did, controversial coach that he was, controversial person, I have heard interviews of people that interviewed Bob Knight, listened to them recently after his passing, and everybody has good things to say about him. The person, the man, but absolutely the coach. Robert Montgomery Knight is no longer with us. College basketball, the state of college basketball, the sport is never going to be the same. And ultimately, state of Indiana, the state that I live in, lost a legend. It's one of those surreal things. A coach that I knew had some bad things, did bad things when I was a kid. I still said, hey, I'd like to play for him. Why? He's a winner. And when I think of Bobby Knight or Bob Knight, the basketball coach, guys, I think about a winner. Also, this is weird. I didn't plan on doing this today, but when I put this show together, I said, oh, okay, let's go ahead and tie Colorado to this. And that's just something that was going to happen no matter what. Didn't realize that it was going to come after discussing Bob Knight passing away. But earlier in the show, I asked this question, and I'm sure some of you might have been like, Jay, you don't really talk about Colorado. And you're right. I don't. I don't really have a reason to most of the time. This year has been a little bit different because, well, Deion Sanders is the coach. And so Deion Sanders is polarizing. His personality catches you when he talks. It is something that you pay attention to. So I'm like, okay, cool. Colorado, I'll talk about him a little bit occasionally, not always. Really got off that train because there's nothing really to talk about this team, because you think about good teams in college football, you think about Washington or Oregon or the Buckeyes, Ohio State or the Wolverines. Unfortunately, they cheat, but yeah, they're good this year. Or Georgia or Alabama or Penn State, whoever, Ole Miss. You think about some of those teams like that. Not even really USC or Notre Dame anymore. They're good. Clemson, not really. They're all having below standard seasons for those schools. But then there's Colorado. And, man, let me tell you. Colorado got my attention. Beat TCU 45-42 week one. beat rival Nebraska. That was a home game, 36-14. Nebraska's not that good. Beat Colorado State, 43-35. Colorado State's not that good. Then you go on the road at Oregon. After making some big, bold statements, and Dan Lanning. Forget the exact coach's name. Oh, wow, that's bad. Could be Dan Lanning. I forget. Made some statements about Deion and Colorado, allowed ESPN's cameras, may have been ABC cameras, to come into the locker room pregame and postgame, and, well, he knew what he was doing. He definitely rehearsed that speech, and it came out exactly how he wanted it to. And the team, the Ducks, beat the brakes off of Colorado that day, lost that game. Colorado did 42-6. The next week, they're at home, lost to USC 48-41. That's a good time of people realize, hey, maybe USC is not that good. The next week, beat Arizona State, who is not that good, 27-24. And now they have three straight losses. A loss at home to Stanford, 46-43. A loss on the road at UCLA in the Rose Bowl, 28-16. And then recently a loss to Oregon State, who is a good football team, 26-19. The next three games they have this year: at home against Arizona, on the road at Washington State, on the road at Utah. There's a good chance. Oh, wow. Didn't think it's going to happen. There's a good chance Colorado ends the season 4-8. And one thing Deion Sanders made a statement about earlier this year that I'm sitting here thinking, why would you make that statement about your son and how many losses he has had in his entire football playing career? Why? This is a different level of spotlight. And I understand being confident. I understand believing in yourself, believing in your son, believing in your players, which truly he does not. Because he called his O-line out. Somebody said, how do you fix the O-line? Get different players. Get a new O-line. And I'm like, oh, Deion Sanders is out here embarrassing people. But why would you do that? And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe Deion Sanders made a statement about the amount of losses his son has had in his career. Said, oh, he may have only lost 4, 5, 6 games in his entire career. And I'm like, I don't think you want to make that statement when your players on your team are not better than the players on the teams you're playing. Some of them are. But a lot of your guys are still learning the position, and some of them, man, just ain't getting it done. So, 4-8 year for Colorado. And I say all that to say this. Do you still care about Colorado like you did earlier this year? I say you specifically, you listening to the show, and I say that because I don't. I don't care. You could ask my wife. How many times have I said that we're going to watch or suggested that we watch Colorado football over the past few weeks? Zero. Maybe once to see exactly what's going on, but it's not like it's appointment television. We were out of town. This was after an Ohio State game. My wife and I went to the Ohio State Western Kentucky game, week 3 of the season. And then after that game, we ended up staying in Columbus. Well, staying in Dayton that evening. And I had plans. We got back to the hotel room. I said, oh, let's watch Colorado football. I have never, ever in my life, being a college football fan, I don't believe I have made Colorado football appointment television. And if I have, it wasn't at 11 o'clock at night. But I remember that number. The number was huge. A lot of people stayed up till 2:30 in the morning to watch that game. And I'm like, that was a great time for people to find something to help them stay up later. But I don't think those same people care about Colorado football like they used to. Do you see people out here, the same reporters and shows, discussing Colorado football in the same way and as much as they used to? I don't, and I doubt you do as well. So, Colorado football, I don't really care about it like I used to. Honestly, if I didn't watch another Colorado game this year, it wouldn't upset me. Wouldn't lose any sleep. None of that. They got Arizona this coming Saturday at 2 o'clock. They play at Washington State. These are all Eastern times. November 17th at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Then the road game at Utah on the Saturday after Thanksgiving. The time for that has not been determined. It don't matter if it was 12 o'clock noon, 11 in the morning, 9 in the morning, 11 at night. It's not appointment television for me, and there's a good chance it's not appointment television for you either. Thank you for jumping in and tuning into the J.E. Stevens podcast. Really appreciate you coming back. And the plan, well, as always, weekly shows discussing topics you care about. This has been episode 290 of the J.E. Stevens podcast. I will see you next time.